So what is leadership? And what we see today is what's called leadership is really not leadership. There's a vacancy and a failure in leadership, not only in our country, but in our churches, where we're seeing that all around, also in our families. We see that there has been a continuance and a failure of leadership all around. Too much about self and not about selfless. Too much about self-promotion and not about self-denial. Too much arrogance and not enough acknowledgement of God. Too much listen to me and not enough listen to Him. Too much following after men and not following after the Master. Many of us can be leaders where God uses us. Don't throw me out here, but young people can be leaders. Women can be leaders. Now, I know where they are in the home, but in their circle of friends, in their circle, they can lead others to Christ. And so one thing that is already said even in last night, how Jesus is the greatest leader. He is our one that we look to. One thing that always jumps out at to me that I think that makes a leader set apart as Jesus was set apart is how He loves people. Now, you want to lead people, you love people. That's an important thing to make sure that we always keep in mind. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I'm glad that I can follow Him, and He leads me. Now, most of us are very familiar with Joseph and his story. Just a quick recap to get us up to where we're at this afternoon. Joseph was sold into slavery, as you know, by his brothers, falsely accused by Potiphar and his wife. I don't think Potiphar really believed it. But the falsely accused there, he was thrown into prison. The power of God, though, helped him interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker. But then that last part of chapter 23 of chapter 39, the butler forgot him. So that leads us up into where we're at. But number one, this afternoon, I want you to see a godly leader is led by God. Look back with me in verse number 14 again. And Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself, changed his raiment and came into Pharaoh. If you're going to be a godly leader, a Christian leader, you need to be led by God. We cannot lead our churches. We cannot lead our families. We cannot lead our friends to God. We cannot have any leadership in our life if we are not being led by God. Again, the greatest leader. I want you to notice with that is allow God to prepare your mind. Joseph had not been sitting in a self-pity place of mind. If he had, he had not been ready. Now, notice again in verse number 14, and Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came into Pharaoh. He doesn't have much time. Hastily brings him out. I believe that this whole time that God has been preparing his mind for this moment. Joseph hadn't just been sitting there doing anything. He's allowed God to lead him and to prepare him. Again, you see there in verse number 14, he was brought out hastily. He changes his clothes, he shaves, and immediately he is one moment in the dungeon and the next moment in the palace in front of Pharaoh. And there might be some in here that God's called to missions or God's called to be a pastor, a youth director, a change of ministry. He was in ministry for missions for 9 years before God called us into pastorate. And you always think about in the future, but don't wait. If you know that's in the future, God's working in your heart, like, don't sit around and do nothing. By the leading of the Lord, prepare. Get ready for that. There might be some in here thinking about marriage. You don't wait till the wedding day to be ready for marriage. You get ready now and allow God to prepare you now to be the right husband, to be the right wife. When God moves, in my experience, I don't know about yours, but in my experience, He will always test our faith. It seems like He'll wait forever, but then when He starts moving, He moves fast. And so you need to be ready. Joseph was ready. He allowed God to prepare his mind. He allowed God to prepare his heart. You see there in verse number 14 again. And Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon and shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. This is about a drastic change for Joseph. In a dungeon one moment, in the palace the other, shaved and changed. And all of a sudden now he is in the presence of the most powerful people in the country. Not only did Joseph allow God to prepare his mind, he allowed him to prepare his heart. Now, again, this is culture shock. This is something that would have shocked him, that being in the dungeon and all of a sudden now he is in front of Pharaoh. Joseph trusted God, though. Amen. He knew God had great plans for him. He did not wait till it happened to prepare for it. He prepared in advance. And we all need to do as well. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. and doctrine. Be ready. Have a heart that's ready. Have a mind that's ready. And then also allow God to prepare your life. Look with me in verse number 15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee. Joseph already had a reputation. Sometimes we might think that God's people are not looking at us and wondering or seeing us. But know this, people are watching us. I've been a preacher's kid, missionary's kid my whole life. I grew up in the ministry. My dad was a pastor. He was a missionary. Was raised in it. And being raised in that, if you've been here, if you're here, you're raised in that. Sometimes we get a little out of sorts with that and thinking, well, it's just I live in a glass house. But in reality, every Christian lives in a glass house. Because the world is looking at you for what's, is this real? Is this something that I want? And they're looking at all of us. So every Christian is in a glass house. Joseph was in a glass house. He said there, I have heard say of thee. He's got a reputation. People are watching him and watching to see how he's going to react to this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Notice verse number 16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation. That conversation, there's lifestyle and character. And we need to have that. Every Christian should have that. Joseph did not have just a ready mind and a ready life. He had a ready heart. I wonder how many that God wants to use, but they're not ready. They're ready and not in their mind. They're not ready in their heart. They're not ready. They're just not ready. I believe there's God wants to use many of us, but we're not where we need to be for Him to use. You might say, well, preacher, what do you mean by all this? Prepare your life. We need to get back to living a holy life. Not an Amish life or a Mennonite life where we are odd, but a life that's set apart. A life that is not involved in things that we should not be involved in. Secondly, I want you to see a godly leader rest on God's strength. He rests on God's strength. Notice verse number 16 with me. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Joseph was humble. Now, this is another thing we don't see much today, do we? Really, across the board, we don't see many people that are humble, or as the old timer would say, humble. It's not in me, he says. Now, again, this is Joseph could have been very arrogant here, but Joseph's understanding where his power comes from. Joseph could allow this to go to his head, this ability to interpret these dreams. But Joseph remained humble. And this is something that we should always be mindful of in every aspect of our life. We must remain humble. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Also, Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, and honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Also, Joseph was dependent. Again, you go back in verse number 16 with me. It says, it's not in me. God shall give. Shows his dependence on God. Joseph understood that the power is not in him, but in the Lord. In Psalms 141:8, but mine eyes are on to thee, O God the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. God needs some people that are willing vessels. God needs some people to just say, use me. I don't know about all the other men here. And again, I feel very honored to be able to preach here this afternoon. And I don't know how God called you, but I know when He called me, we had an argument. God, are you sure about this? Now, early in my teenage years, we were in Alaska as missionaries, and God called me. I was in missions before I became a pastorate, and God used another missionary to come and do some work on our cabin there, and He used him, influenced in my life, and He called me to a mission to the missions, so what we did for 9 years. I surrendered to that. I was about 15, 16 years old, and I said, God, absolutely, I'd love to do that, but don't let me ever preach. Now, if you've ever argued with God, you know arguing with God don't work. We'll talk and we'll say, but God just says, all right, and He loves me through that. But then when God called me to preach, man, I battled that. Like, God, are you sure you need me? I'm the introvert. I'm the one on the back pew. I'm the one that don't like crowds. And God says, no, I want you. And I'm amazed every day that God uses me. God needs willing vessels. God needs people to just say, here's me. Here I am. Use me. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing in our flesh. God does all the work. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. When we rely and depend on ourselves, we will fall. But when we depend on Him, God will help us. Third thing I want you to see very quickly is a godly leader stands on truth. He stands on truth. And we didn't read this, but come on down to verse number 25 and read down to verse number 32. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of the Pharaohs, one, God has showed Pharaoh what is he about to do. And seven good kind or 7 years and seven good years or 7 years. And the dream is one. And the seventh thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them or 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing that I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come a servant years, 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall also arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason that the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It has become the things established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Joseph shares with him the truth of the dreams and what the interpretation of these dreams. I want you to notice with this, a godly leader stands on truth. Joseph did not shy away from the truth. Joseph could have sugarcoated it. Joseph could have said, well, there might be some bad times here, but hey, there's going to be a good time. He could have done something different. No, he just plainly said what God told him to say. Right. We've got to get back where we stand on the truth. Amen. Natural tendency for Joseph would be to just kind of lay it a little soft on him. But no, he told him the truth. Again, a few moments ago, Joseph was in a dungeon. He was in an awful place, and his flesh would say, hey, make sure he likes you. Make sure he keeps you out of there. Don't be so abrasive. Make sure you give him a good story on this, and don't tell him everything. In Joseph's flesh, he might have thought that. But Joseph stood on truth. Man, we're in a chaotic time. We're in a time where most people say that there is no truth, but there is truth. And we have the truth, but we've got to proclaim the truth. There's many people out there that are searching and want to find the truth. And we see them, and maybe they might aggravate us and frustrate us because they get in the wrong sins and the wrong things. But they don't have what we have. They don't have the truth. They don't have the plumb bob of righteousness to get them back where they need to be. And they need to be told the truth. I listened to a guy the other day, and you probably seen the same thing. And it was this man, and he was asked, can he have a baby? He said, yes. Now, in our minds, we think, man, that's got something wrong in his mind. He might be, but I think a lot of people today are so wrong on truth that they actually believe this. They actually believe they can be something else. They can be another gender or something else. They actually, in their minds, believe this. And in our minds, we think, no, they got to be. No, I think they actually believe it because they don't have the truth. We must stand on the truth. Joseph does not shy away from the truth. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We've got to get back to standing on the truth. Also, I want you to see he declared the truth. In verse number 30 and 31, he says, the famine shall consume the land. It's going to be very grievous. He said, it's going to be awful. The day is coming when this famine comes, it's going to consume everything, and it's going to be very grievous. Joseph declared the truth. It's not just something he knew or understood, he declared it. A lot of Christians today know the truth, but we're not declaring it. We're not getting it out. We're not sharing, oh, well, I've got to be politically correct. I don't want to offend people. Now, I think we can do this without offense, but we got to do it. We got to do it with love in our hearts and love for that person, but we've still got to declare to them the truth. We're failing in this in our day. We've allowed political correctness to hush us. But we've got to tell them the truth. As we've already stated, we have a failure in our churches today. Preachers and pastors do not declare the truth. I was at a breakout session one time, and the pastor was speaking on some different things that was relevant in our day. And he mentioned, if you need an explanation, I can share it with you later. I think most of y'all would probably know what it stands for, but with the little ears, I won't get into it. But one of them is SSA, and the other perversions of the lifestyles that are around today. But he was speaking on this subject and how to deal with them as they come into our churches. And he was okay as far as calling it sin, but then he got really soft on declaring to them the truth of the matter. And me being me, I had to say it a little louder probably than I should have, but I said that was weak. Amen. And it was. Amen. It's weak. I'll find out later, and I know this played into it, and I hope that this never happens to me, but I'll find out later that pastor has a son that's in that perversion. And it made him weak. Now, I know that's got to be tough, and I cannot even imagine what that would go through that. But we still have to get back to God says this is an abomination, and we've got to stand on the truth. And I know it would probably tear your heart out to have a child go through that and a child experience that. But I still, with my children sitting here today, with love in my heart, I'm still going to tell them that's wrong. I love you. You'll always be my son. You'll always be my daughter. But we've got to stand on truth. He declared the truth, and he stood on the truth. Joseph stood firmly on the truth, knowing well that he could end up back in the dungeon. He knew that was a possibility. He did. Joseph is not somebody, he interpreted his dream, but he does not know how this is going to play out. And so he knows very well he could end up back in the dungeon. And too many today are standing on the truth. They're not standing on the truth because they're afraid of the repercussions of it. But one thing I have noticed in the years that I have been in ministry is people are hungry for truth. We want to shy away from it. We want to kind of soft pedal it. But people want to know the truth. They have a hunger for the truth. Know this, truth is absolute. Most people today say truth is relative. Truth is not relative. Truth is absolute. But a wonderful thing is truth is accessible. And truth is attainable. Our theme this year at Antioch Baptist Church, where I pastor, the vision of this year, the theme of this year is the armor of God. Past three weeks, we kind of looked at a soldier and different things, and then now we're into looking at the armor that he put on there in Ephesians chapter 6. And for the past 3 weeks, we've looked at the belt of truth and dug into all that, and the belt of truth, how there's the protection in the belt, and how it protects our mind and our emotions, how the belt of truth is an anchor in these chaotic times, and it is. We need truth. Man, we never need to shy away. Sometimes we might even take it for granted. And one thing I shared with our church, sometimes we might take it for granted as Christians to not explain to our children things in the world. They need to know the truth. Oh, they're going to pick up on it. Not when the world is telling them the opposite. Not when the world is saying this is okay and this is acceptable and this is what a family looks like, two mamas or two daddies. No, that's an abomination. And we've got to make sure that we drive that into their little minds to let them know that's wrong. And stand on truth. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth. Sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. We need to see that we need to treasure the truth and purchase the truth and continue in the truth. Always make sure you're on the side of truth. And that is where, when you're on the side of truth, you're going to be on God's side. So a godly leader is led by God, a godly leader rests on God, and a godly leader stands on truth.